back in studio. Hi, everybody. Eric Mann with my co-host Damon Azali. This is the Voices from the Frontline on the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour. And we're now going to be talking to Dr. Fernando Guerra, the director of the Thomas and Dorothy Levy Center for the Study of Los Angeles at Loyola Marymount University. How you doing, Fernando?
I'm doing well, Eric. Good to talk to you.
You too. It was very nice being at your school and working with you.
It was a great talk that you gave, and the students were all enthused. So, yeah, I appreciate you coming over to the campus.
Great. Well, I don't know if you heard, we had both Anthony Thigpen making the case for working for Antonio Villaraigosa, and then we had Julie Butcher, executive director of Local 347 of SEIU, making the case for Mayor Hahn. Leaving aside, I don't know your own ability to put forth your own views. Antonio made the case that he thought the key issue in the campaign was the there's some noise on the phone.
Yeah, you're gonna have to give me about one more minute, but I'll go ahead and listen, and I'll get rid of that noise in 1 second. My apologies.
Okay. He's a doctor and he's also an electrician, so he's gonna work on it. And I'll just do my best to fill in the time. Anthony Thigpen made the case that the central question in the election today is the Black and Latino alliance, and that more than any other issue of what Antonio is fighting for or against is actually the coalition beneath him or above him, which is the potential for Blacks and Latinos to, in this case for the Black community in particular, to rally around a Latino candidate. Julie Butcher made the argument that Mayor Hahn has been more than an average pro-labor candidate, but has actually taken tremendous risks to defend organized labor. How you doing?
Good. I'm fine. I'm sorry about that. I'm all set here.
Okay, good. So the question is, were you able to hear what I said?
Yeah, I heard everything.
Okay, great. So the question is, given those two arguments, in your studies and your analysis, how would you address those different concerns and different ways of making the case?
Oh, I think they're both absolutely right, and they're, you know, it's not mutually exclusive what they said. I mean, we got to remember these are two liberal Democrats who care very much about labor, who care very much about the African American community and the Latino community. And I know it gets very competitive, and then they start bickering at each other, especially in the last week, and they try to find every little leverage or advantage. But, you know, both of these candidates will be good for labor. Both of these candidates will be good for the African-American community. I think, obviously, that Antonio will be better for the Latino community, but still will be very good for the African-American community. And ultimately, though, I agree with Mr. Thigpen about the very crucial time in terms of a Latino-Black coalition. Let's be very honest. Antonio Villaraigosa lost last time because he didn't have the Black vote. No progressive candidate in urban America can win an election without the African-American vote. It's just almost impossible in every type of setting. You need that vote. You need African-Americans to be part of that coalition, and it just wasn't there. Interestingly enough, you know, no progressive candidate can win without the labor vote either. And I think Antonio's going to get the labor vote. I know that Julie and certainly our brother Miguel Contreras, who passed away this Friday, and others in the leadership have endorsed the mayor. But both our exit poll at Loyola Marymount University, the exit poll conducted by the Los Angeles Times, and then the voter poll conducted by the Los Angeles Times, shows that union households supported Villaraigosa to a greater degree than they did Hahn in the primary, and that they intend to, at this moment, to support Villaraigosa to a greater degree than Hahn. And so the labor vote will be there for Villaraigosa, which, you know, you add those two, and you add the third element, the Latino vote, and you add the fact that Antonio is also doing well with the white vote. That's why everybody's predicting a Villaraigosa victory.
Are you continuing to do I'd like you to go into some detail on the data. When you said exit polls, have you done subsequent – first you'll talk about the exit polls from the last election. Have you been continuing to do subsequent polling during the runoff period?
No. know, we did do the exit poll. We're planning to do another exit poll on the 17th, but we have not done any type of voter poll during the subsequent period. However, obviously, both campaigns have done so, and the LA Times should be releasing theirs, I think, on Thursday. I could be wrong about that. And then, they have the ABC polls, which the methodology is kind of strange, and we can talk a little bit about that. But all polls since March 8th have Villaraigosa in front of Han.
Tell us just a little bit more about, if you could break down some of the subcategories of the electorate from the runoff elections, like Black, Latino, labor, if there's the white West Side liberal, the Valley whites, et cetera, et cetera.
Right. I mean, every single time we talk about race in the city, we say race shouldn't matter. And, that's a normative question. People want to have race not matter. But the reality is that race matters in the city. And I can, it's a fact that according to our exit polls, and so in a way, exit polls are not so much opinion as they are fact, because we are asking you, what did you do 3 to 5 minutes ago? Did you vote for somebody? So it's not who are you thinking about voting, who would you like to vote, it's what did you do? And so exit polls tend to be, if done right, incredibly, incredibly accurate in terms of the results. And then the next beauty in terms of exit polls is we can check the accuracy in terms of the actual results, And so our results and the LA Times results, and then you take them and you compare them to the actual results, and we were right on. And so our breakdown in terms of what percentage was African American and how they voted is we're pretty secure about those numbers, given that our overall results were what the election results were. African Americans, a bare majority, 50%, 51%, voted for Parks. And then you take a look at the majority of Latinos, obviously 71%, voted for Villaraigosa. A plurality of whites voted for Hertzberg. Blacks voting for blacks, Latinos for Latinos, whites for whites. The only group that didn't have a candidate agent, and a majority supported Hawk. And we have those facts right there. And that, in terms of the African American vote, 50% for Parks. But after that, we have that 23% of blacks voted for Villaraigosa, and only 18% voted for Han. We differ with the LA Times on that second position. They had Han in second and Villaraigosa in third amongst African American voters. We strongly believe that we're more accurate because our exit poll methodology, we oversampled, or better stated, we correctly sampled the African American community and the Latino community. We took care to make sure that we had high propensity black precincts and Latino precincts, as opposed to the LA Times. They try to capture do precincts that are representative of the city, meaning that they have a lot of black and Latino voters. Our argument is that most black voters live in predominantly black precincts. Most Latino voters live in predominant Latino precincts, and those are the votes that you need to poll, not where blacks and Latinos live in integrated. And so I know that a lot of the viewers say, I wish race didn't play a role, but it did. And we saw the results. I do believe, obviously, that about 80% of Latinos are going to vote for Antonio Villaraigosa. African American Voter Registration Project did a poll. That's an organization that's really headed by Mark Ridley Thomas. And he had the African American vote split 40-40 with 20 undecided. So it's going to be tight. But again, Antonio only needs to win 50% of the black vote, and he really then makes a big difference for his campaign. Ultimately, Antonio, believe it or not, needs more white voters than Latino voters, which I think he's going to get in absolute numbers. He won't get as high a percentage, obviously, as Latino voters, but in absolute numbers, he'll actually have more whites voting for him for mayor than Latinos in the May runoff, as he did in the March 8th election as well.
So, Fernando, how does the immigrant voting population plan? Because there's a lot of stuff around the occasional voters. And so if we look at where are the elections that most people come up, presidential elections, and I think in terms of this, all you're saying is each particular, you know, Rasa, each particular nationality is voting for the folks that they see most closely represents them. How does that play in the fact of this? Because I would imagine those wouldn't be in a lot of the numbers in terms of the voter polls.
Yeah, actually, we have some numbers in mostly for Latino immigrants. So I am projecting that we're going to have a turnout of about 30%. Of that 30%, about 25%, 24 to 25% will be Latino voters. Amongst those, about a quarter to a third will be foreign-born Latinos who have obviously naturalized, registered to vote, and are now voting. So if you take a look at the total picture of all voters, about 6 to 8% of all voters will be Latino immigrant voters, who tend to be older, a bit more established, obviously, than the typical immigrant. And they are overwhelmingly for Antonio Villaraigosa. They actually will support him, you know, almost at the 85-90% level from the numbers that we have. And we feel pretty secure about that because, you know, we interviewed over 1,500 people, and the LA Times interviewed close to 2,000 in our exit polls. And in all of those, we were able to, you know, we asked, are you foreign born? It's all that. And we can cross tab that. And we have a significant number of respondents in those categories. And so we feel pretty good when you add those two numbers together from the March 8th poll that Latino immigrant voters are heavily in favor of Antonio Villaraigosa.
Well, I think the last point observation I'll make, and you can comment, then we're going to turn it over to our listeners. Get ready, folks, because if you don't call, I'm going to sing oldies for 15 minutes. I'm pretty good, but that's not my primary objective.
I heard it on Saturday. He is pretty good, ladies and gentlemen.
So we're going to give everybody like their one-minute case for either Han or Villaraigosa after Dr. Guerra is finished. The last thing I just wanted to observe back on the Black Latino Alliance is that, as I think you pointed out and as Anthony pointed out, historically there's been, a tragedy in L.A. politics, which is that Tom Bradley, in my opinion, did not do a good job of reaching out to the Latino community and advancing their interests. And so you had this situation where basically there would either be a black-white alliance or a Latino-white alliance, and that the whites were always at the center. And that during the first Reardon campaign, for instance, there was the white Latino alliance with Mike Wu being a stand-in for the black community as an Asian, you know, who had done a really good job in taking on Chief Parks. So I think this is the first time where at least even at 50%, that's an enormous vote. I mean, 50% of the black community for a Latino candidate with a long, you know, a Villaraigosa, is a major cultural shift in the city, don't you think?
Oh, I think you're probably going to get higher than 50, but I think that's going to be the low number. We have to stop assuming. If you want to be a practical progressive, that you really want the city to put certain things on the agenda, we have to stop assuming that we obviously are going to, that there's always going to be a coalition of the peoples of color. It's not natural. If anything tells us about L.A. history and urban history, it is a very difficult thing to do, to formulate, to mobilize a coalition. It doesn't just happen naturally. It's not that institutions, while it's true that institutions try to get in our way, while it's true that the power structure, whether it is white or Latino or African-American, get in the way, but it's still, even when all those are neutralized, you still have a difficult time getting Latinos and blacks, Latinos and Asians, Asians and blacks, Jews and blacks together. And let me tell you something. There's a great article that I just finished reading, very academic, but it talks about Afro-Caribbean and African-Americans in New York and the difficulty they have forming a coalition together, even though they are black.
Wow.
Because of black skin, even though they're all Democrats, even though they all vote heavily for a certain type of candidate, they still had a difficult time coalescing. So from a progressive perspective, I really want people to stop saying, hey, it's a natural thing, it's just someone gets in our way. No, it's not a natural thing. We need to work on really developing a situation where we coalesce because it's in our interest, and because and you got to spell that interest out instead of presuming that everybody understands that. Blacks think that if Latinos get into political power, they will distribute the goods, jobs, contracts, etc., to Latinos over African Americans. And until we face and talk about that directly, we're going to get nowhere. And so we need to talk about that.
Well, thanks so much. And you know we're going to have you back, and we'll continue to talk about that. That was Dr. Fernando Guerra. And thanks for being on the show, and we'll talk
to
you soon.
Absolutely. Thanks for having me, Eric.
Take good care. Okay, folks, you want to take a break, Meg, or we're going to go right to the phones? All right, I'm going to give the phone number. It's now this is your chance to be a pundit, a pollster, advocate, 818-985-5735, 818-985-KPFK. This is Eric Mann with Damon Ozzoli. You're on Voices from the Frontlines at the 4 o'clock Public Affairs Hour. And make your case. We're going to give you about 1 minute because we want to try to get a hopefully 10 callers in here.
I got the buzzer.
Okay, we got the buzzer. Israel, make your case.
Oh, yes. I think Fernando needs to stop focusing on this so-called species concept of race. It's not a real category. We need to look for the clean spirit and just deal with who's good and who's not good and leave this so-called ideal of race out of it because there's only one race, the human race.
Fernando, who do you want for mayor?
I want Antonio Villaraigosa to be mayor without a doubt. I think he's the most moral candidate, and he's the most honest candidate. And I think he would be the best person for the people of Los Angeles to have as their leader. And I think that he would be a great mayor. And so that's who I want for mayor.
Thank you so much.
I don't want him doing no racial thing.
We got it. Thank you, Israel. And we're going to move to our next call. Luis from Whittier.
Yes. Hi. Well, I'm for Villaraigosa. He's a proven union leader. However, I do want to object to referring to the Chicano Mexicano community as Latinos. I think that's also a term that's used to divide people.
Can we focus right?
Latinos are Chicano Mexicano community, Central and South Americans. We're all going to vote for Villaraigosa because we are going to identify with our cultural group, not necessarily as a race, but we also have to be cautious. Villaraigosa is not everything for everyone, and he does need some improvement in terms of working class issues. Thank you.
Thank you so much. We have Edward from Highland Park. Be a pundit. Tell us who to vote for.
Oh, hello. Yes, I'm for Villaraigosa, definitely. I've lived in his assembly district, and when he was assembly member, he did a lot of important things to make sure we had the community colleges, the tuitions were kept low, and there was enough funding for our local two-year colleges. And he was also very strong on environmental issues, like cleaning up the toxic waste in the city and getting grants of state money to that, because we have a lot of underground seepage of chemicals coming into the regular water supply. And he's also very much good on funding for the public schools. And I believe that also that Han has a difficulty with getting these revenues from the federal government and the state government. He just doesn't seem to understand how to operate the machineries of government to get the revenue-sharing money that's necessary for the city. So I think Villaraigosa is a lot more competent than that, and that he doesn't have the heavyweight burden of all these scandals on the misappropriation of monies.
Hey, you scored a lot of points.
I know, that was less than a minute. Right
you there. Did great, Edward. Thank you so much.
So just get the number out again. It's 818-985-KPFK. That's 5735. And now we have Elizabeth from Van Nuys.
Hello. These last three callers were very slick. I wonder who pays their bills. We have a mayor who is very responsive. I know. I've been a homeowner in the Valley for 50 years, and I've had all kinds of dealings. This is the first time a mayor's office was responsive in any way. He's a quiet gentleman. He's not flamboyant. He's proven himself, I think, much adequately. I wonder why people are considering changing to someone we don't know much about or how he's going to affect us. When we have a good mayor now, why don't we just let him buy his proper time out and then go to Villaraigosa? I think there's an emerging pattern here. We have this in Washington with all the shenanigans there, the redistricting, you know, stacking the deck. We had a governor who is all of a sudden out of office, and we've got the worst one. It's this anybody but Bush syndrome again, and I think that we ought to be careful. We have a good, quiet, honest, doing for the people mayor, and we ought to give him a little support instead of whittling away at him. I haven't heard anything that Villaraigosa is going to do that Mayor Hahn hasn't done or tried to do. I think we're on the edge of a little uncertainty that we should consider.
Okay, thank you, Elizabeth. And now we are going to Olga from San Fernando.
Yes, well, pretty much I have a comment regarding the Latino community. I mean, I'm Latina. And
no, focus on who this is. Who do you want to vote for and why?
I want to vote for Hahn, first of all, because of the stuff he's done for the community, not because of his skin color, definitely. I think we should need focus more on what he's bringing to the community, what he's bringing to the city as a whole, not as a one specific group, pretty much.
That's good. You're making the case.
Yes.
818-985-5735. These are really good comments. Let's keep going. Is it Tamok in Boyle Heights?
Yes, my vote is for, of course, Villaraigosa, not only because of the stuff, yeah, especially on the environment, you know, much props to the guy for that, you know. And also, I'm concerned a little bit on, well, okay, they're speaking about Hahn and Villaraigosa. Yeah, like what the lady said earlier, Hahn doing a social job, which is, you know, it's cool, it's great what he's doing. But I'm concerned of what the things he's probably setting down as a plan or setting things in motion. Like, maybe I'm a little ignorant to that little, you know, if he's linked up somehow with Arnold, you know, I don't know. I see a pattern here, so for my voice, Villaraigosa, and thanks for your time.
Thanks a lot. We got Robert from Van Nuys. Who should we vote for, Robert?
It's hard for me to say. I'm a union member, and I'm a building trades person. And one thing that I would like everybody in the building trades to stop and think, you know, there's a lot of building trades people out there, plumbers, painters, carpenters, and such. And I know that Hahn got the endorsement at the building trades because I actually sat in on the meeting. And the point is, people from the building trades what's coming out is that they're afraid of Villaraigosa is going to kill the PLAs. And I really don't see him doing that. I see him being a strong backer of labor. And if you are a building trades member, I think you should, you know, seriously consider looking at Antonio, because Antonio is a tough guy.
Okay, thank you so much. We got one more left. John and Eagle Rock, you got 1 minute, John.
Hello. I'm going to vote from a write-in Wendy Lyons. I wouldn't vote for either one of these thieves. I want to have somebody who had a job for a living. And that's basically it. I feel like we're really doomed. Thank you.
Short, we ended and with sweet.
Okay.
So we wanted to thank our guests for today, Anthony Thigpen, Fernando Guerra, and Julie Butcher. We had music from Michael Fonte, Junior Reed, Jorge Ben, and Jonina, which is probably coming up right now. If you want to check out the last few Voices from the Frontline segments, you can go to www.thestrategycenter.org, thestrategycenter.org. Up next, we have Beneath the Surface with Susie Weissman. We'll have a roundtable on the mayor's race and Miguel Contreras' death, the relationship between labor and the mayor's race, plus Angelica's dirty laundry. Join us next week on Voices from the Frontlines. Thank you, Maggie LaPique and Alan Minsky. We will see you next week.
You've been listening to the 4 o'clock report, Voices from the Frontline edition, heard Monday afternoons from 4 to 5 on Revolutionary Radio, KPFK 90.7 FM, Los Angeles, 98.7 FM, Santa Barbara, and at kpfk.org for the world. Coming up next, Beneath the Surface with Susie Weissman. Stay with us.